Hello everybody, and welcome to a very special recording for Swamp, because this is in celebration of 1 year that this game has existed. It's 1 year old as of the 21st of October this year, being 2012. A year ago, the development of this game got really underway when it started out at version 0.1. Now in this recording we have a few things lined up. It's a bit long, that's why I zipped it and put it in parts. We will have where we talk to people about the game. We're also going to play a mission in the true Swamp style. But before that, and most importantly, we have a very, very special interview with Apron himself, which I really hope you find very entertaining and informative. It turned out to be more of a conversation because it's so long that you can't really, you know, edit too much out. Even though I did try to edit it as much as possible, it's still a very, very long recording. So I did try to make it a bit smaller, encode it a bit differently. So I apologize for the sound quality. It's not best, but it's not the worst either. But that was mainly because something went wrong and I spent 3 hours editing it, so but it's still very much listenable. So I really hope you sit back and relax and enjoy this recording. Hello everybody, and welcome to a little part as part of the special Swamp birthday recording. I'm very glad to say that we have managed to secure Apron, who developed this game, to speak to us for a bit, and I'm very glad about it. With me I have Laurie, who plays Hello. Death on Swamp, and Lauren.
Hi.
Who's usually doing anything, and a special welcome to April, or Jeremy Koldowski, or whatever you know him. Hi there, April.
Hello, everybody.
We're so lucky to have him on here.
We are. Now,
oh, extremely.
The first thing I'd like to ask, considering that Swamp started out, how exactly did it start out, and how did you get to the idea of Swamp and zombies, and why calling it Swamp?
Well, the first, it's kind of hard to remember all the way back, it really has been a long time, but it first started off, I had tried Audio Quake. You know, some people had recommended it, and I played that for a little bit, and coming at it from an outsider's perspective, I could see a lot of problems with the controls, you know, things that it just didn't seem smooth to me. It was very clunky. Mm-hmm. You know, you were, like, locked to grids and, you know, and other things. Yeah. So I just started playing around with how would I change the controls, and I needed, you know, some kind of a map or level. It ended up just being a big empty space. Well, I needed different sounds, so I started playing around with footsteps, and I put in, you know, the best footsteps I could get a hold of right away sounded like you were walking in mud or water. So I thought, all right, well, this is just a big swamp. That's why there's, you know, no trees or anything. It was my excuse. And it was released as more of a test, more than anything. There was, you know, several different radar types and different things in the game, and some of them have stayed around. But I was just kind of getting it out there so people could let me know if any of these ideas were any good.
And the mouse, I mean, mm-hmm. That's a totally new thing for a blind game. Were you hesitant in the beginning, or did somebody encourage you, or how did it come about that you actually integrated the mouse and wasn't worrying about losing players and the likes?
That's actually a little different than most people would think of how it started, at least. When I first came into the audio game scene, I would have never imagined that the mouse wasn't used. I had just never thought about it. As a sighted user, we use the mouse just as much as the keyboard, if not more. Mm-hmm. So to me, the two go together. Like you would never think to run into a person that was playing with half a keyboard. You just wouldn't imagine that only half of their keyboard existed. And in the same way, I just associate the mouse and the keyboard together. My very first game, The Towers of War, I had mouse support.
I love that game. Sorry.
That's an old one. It has so many problems. I didn't know what I was doing as far as audio games were concerned then. It was more of a test.
Yeah.
But that had mouse support. The Daytona and the Book of Gold, I think, was my second game, and it had mouse support. And then I ended up taking it out because I realized that almost no one was using the mouse. Uh-huh. In fact, when I would ask people about it, most of them said that, you know, they had no interest in even trying it. Well, once Swamp got going and I realized that, you know, the different ways I was testing radars and things, that they, you know, they could work, then I thought, all right, well, I should go back to the mouse idea, because a mouse for a first-person shooter game, or really any kind of game, it's going to make you feel more free. You're not locked to a grid the same way.
Yeah.
So I had wanted that right from the start. I would have never really thought about playing a game or a first-person shooter without a mouse. Yeah. So it was very natural to put it back in.
Now, I must say, it was taken very interestingly among all your gamers. I've heard people who like, integrated nicely with it, and others who didn't like the game because of the mouse.
And now do, really.
And now everybody likes it. So. But
yeah, being a new piece of hardware, it took a little pushing, and yeah. Some point early on, I realized that if I didn't push people and force them to use the mouse, people wouldn't even try. So yeah. That was when I took the, at the time, very unpopular stance to force people to use the mouse to play the game, and it worked out.
I must confess, I played mainstream games before I got to audio games. Don't ask me how, there's ways, but I had to use the mouse. But when I started playing Swamp, I was a bit skeptical about it at first. I was thinking, this is going to be difficult, but, you know, it's like anything, you get used to it. And I think the mouse, using it in that way, has, like, revolutionized everything. I mean, yes, Rotor H, you have a mouse, and all the great games will now have mouse support, I think.
I do agree. Games. I think now that there's enough people floating around that are comfortable with the mouse, there's nothing stopping developers from putting it in now. They won't have to worry that people will argue or complain or not even play their game.
Into the game, at what point did you ever imagine it turning into what it is today in the early stages? Did you even dream about it?
Oh, no, definitely not. I had a few big game ideas that I wanted to work on that I did imagine would get really big, but I didn't think that this one would. I mean, this was, like I said, put out as a test.
Yeah.
And it kept getting more and more people asking for things. I'd add more stuff. More people would ask for things. I'd add more stuff. And it got big enough that I realized, you know what, I'll just take this idea and run with it. I had so many people requesting that I just take a game and just stick with it and develop it. Yeah. And at the time, Swamp was the one that was kind of picking up speed, so I thought, well, that's the one I'll stick with for a while. And the rest is history.
Yeah. Now, a bit of in-game questions. You made, I think before, we played in these shack maps and stuff. But after that, you brought on the multiplayer map, and you got buildings and stuff. I actually had this question from a friend, but I found this interesting as well. Where did you get the idea, like, names for the buildings? Where did they come from?
Originally, I was editing the first map. I was working on that, and I was chatting with Nocturnus and Nightrage from the audio games community.
Yeah.
And I had them on Skype, and I would just ask, you know, throw out a name for a road. And then usually we'd all just kind of say, and then somebody would throw something out, and I'd put it in. So I think at least for the first map, I believe they weighed heavily into the names for roads and buildings and things, even if they didn't know what it was for. Sometimes I would say, just throw out a name, you know, and then they'd throw out something, and it was just random. There was no real planning.
Nothing coordinated.
No cool story about, you know, these were the names of people I fought with in a war. So, you know, nothing cool. Just random name.
And I have a very interesting, like, speculations about Kaimart, for one. Like, you named it after the Kai who's helping you with sounds. And
actually, that is the one thing that was thrown in there intentionally. I actually forgot all about that until you said it. The Kaimart was specifically added and named because Kai, at that time, he stepped in and was just going crazy, making every sound that I needed. You know, he kept revising them, making them better. He's doing a great job. So I thought, you know what, we need a central, very cool building, very well known, that will be right in the center of the map there. And that was what it turned out to be.
But yeah, he's a bit of a, I wouldn't say unsung hero here, but he really made Swamp you coded and he gave sounds. So,
oh, I agree. Without the sounds, the game would. Yeah, it couldn't be enjoyed the same.
And I think it's probably some of the best sounds in any audio game I've played. I think it definitely rivals some of the commercial games, if not beat them all, hands up.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. So I would imagine that Kai has lots of resources and you guys work along together. Is he the only person up here, or do you have like extra people?
No, it's just him. He stays away from all the code, and I stay away from all the sound. We kind of drew that line early on. I wanted to make sure that I wouldn't step on his toes at all and you know, want sounds changed. Because if I did that, it wouldn't fit the overall vision he had for how he wanted the sounds. You know, because as an artist, I would consider him an artist in this. Yeah. He had an idea of how he wanted the entire thing to sound, so that everything would fit. And I didn't want to mess that up. And in the same way, he didn't understand the code part, so it made it, you know, easy for him not to want to tweak code. But in the same way, I stayed with the code. So the code of the game was consistent with one person's idea, and the sound was consistent with one person's idea. It was very nice. When you have people who try to work together, there's always a chance that mixing the two people's ideas will actually overlap, and you won't have the harmony anymore.
Yeah, so this sounds perfect.
Oh, definitely.
Yep.
Another question I've always wondered about, and I know you have work and then you code, but if you ever relax, would you secretly play your game without anybody knowing?
Oh, I wanted to know that one.
The question has come up. Do I use Smurf names? And what's interesting is I don't know if that term is even used in the audio games community. In mainstream circles, Smurf is to create a fake name so that people don't know it's you.
Yeah.
I've never done that in Swamp. The most I've ever done was I had a second name that was just Apron with the number 2 at the end, and that was while I was testing something. I needed to be back on map 1, and I didn't have any code to jump from map 3 to map 1, so I thought, oh, I'll just make a new character, you know. But no, I've never done that.
I've seen the name Apron with a space before, so I thought that might have been your character. There's Apron and then there's Apron with a space.
Yeah, if it was any other variation, it was one of the impersonators who was causing problems before.
I was going to say, those impersonators, to be honest, I think they're just so jealous, and they think, oh, you know, we need to make this name because there's such a cool person who made this game, you know, and all that, and they're just carried away with themselves, you know.
No, just jealous. But since this is a celebratory recording, we're not going to bash anybody here.
Oh no.
We are celebrating a good game and a good developer. But
definitely.
But I do want to ask a few questions on this point if we can. I truly think that it's amazing that with all these setbacks and with, you know, you're trying to make a free game, people will inevitably make it hard, that you could come back and still be willing to work on to help the community. I must say I find that extremely commendable.
Definitely.
I think I would do it. I really don't. I would have just given up long ago.
Same.
there are days where the thought crosses my mind, but it's usually just, you know, it lasts for a few minutes and then I'm fine again.
I don't blame you, but I think things have been very chaotic the past 2-3 weeks, so I think at one point I was worrying that you might abandon it.
Awesome.
Another thing, I know people keep talking about this, that's the topic on the forums right now. What is your thoughts about the moderators they suggest? Would you ever implement that or not?
I've gone back and forth on it. Usually the times when I wonder if I should add them, it's only because I'll be currently overwhelmed. Just so many things coming in. Most people don't realize that behind the scenes there are 10, 20, 50 emails that sometimes I can get in a day, Skype messages, reports in the game can, you know, I can come after a few days of not looking at the server and I can have 800 reports waiting for me.
Oh yeah, I've seen
a lot of reports. You'd be surprised how many people write fake reports, which is a little annoying. I think they're just testing the command. You know, I'll read 20 reports from a person, and then as I scroll through and get to the end, they're like, oh, I'm just testing, you know, there's not really anything wrong. Like they think the report command might be broken or something.
Typical.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a lot of fun to work on the project. You know, in the end, I have to always just tell myself that for every, you know, however many hours until, let's say, the next update.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say it's 100 hours worth of work or 200 hours or something, whatever that is, it's not going to turn into just 100 hours of enjoyment for another person. It's not a one-to-one ratio. It's going to turn into thousands or tens of thousands of hours of enjoyment, not for one person, but for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people.
Yeah.
So in the end, the net gain, you know, it's a small price to pay for a huge benefit later on.
And where there's always one person that's trying to make life hard for you, there are like 100 others who regard you as a hero. And that comes from like all around.
You took those words from my mouth. From all around the world. And that's what I've been thinking lately, you know, for everyone who's trying to mess things up, there are so many more who love your work, your phenomenal work, and just, you know, think it's amazing, so yeah.
Well, I was about to ask what if Apron could give us any hints on what's coming out in the update.
Actually, I could do that.
Is that too much to ask?
No, no, it's not too much. I do have to say that with the 1-year anniversary coming up very soon, I wanted to have something really excellent. And with all of the setbacks, I've had a lot of separate, just real life things that have been a pain, issues with the car and being sick for a little while. Just a lot of everything.
Yeah.
It slowed me down to the point where I do not believe I'll have it ready for the 1-year anniversary. So I'm a little upset about that. But there are new things coming. And I guess I'll just get into some of those. This, of course, could change because I'm always testing and deciding what things should end up in the final release. You know, sometimes I'll have an idea that I'll work on and then I'll realize later that it just doesn't really mesh well with everything else. Right. But the current drawing board or the current things that have either been coded or are being coded is a new system of armor. From day one, I had to keep reminding people that it was not a role-playing game. This is not an RPG. It's a first-person shooter. Well, I think the game has finally advanced to the point where I can kind of cross that line, you know, cross it a little more than I have. The stats did cross it a little bit. You know, they kind of got you into the gray area that maybe it's kind of an RPG. I want to expand on that a little bit just to make things more interesting. The new armor will get rid of the current armor. I'll keep some of the same names, but the current armor becomes pointless. Once you have the, for example, the Kevlar vest, the leather jacket is completely useless because the Kevlar vest is superior to it in every way.
Yeah.
What the new stuff is going to do, the new armor, is that the light armor you can buy on map 1, the medium armor you can buy on map 2, and now the heavy armor you can buy on map 3 will all have different attributes and ways they affect your character. For example, the heavy armor slightly slow you, but has far more protection. The light armor can possibly even increase your speed depending on the pieces. You'll be able to choose in a menu what you want to wear, so you could bring heavy armor with you and change into it before going into a particularly nasty situation. I want to add skill points that are associated with the armor as well, so you may be able to upgrade your character so that the heavy armor doesn't slow you down as much as it slows down the next guy. In general, I want to add quite a few more stat points because there are players running around that are level 400 and they have nothing to do with their points.
I know about those.
So I need to add quite a few new ones in. Been waiting for a long time because even the new weapons don't have any yet. I can't even say the new weapons, the newest weapons, the longbow, shortbow,
AA-12,
M240, those don't have their own skill points yet. They will. I'm going to go through some of the least used weapons, and they're going to be boosted, like the Browning Satori and the Winchester are very rarely used. I don't want to increase the power of the weapons as they start off, because they're good for new players. Those are some of the weapons you start with. But then as you get higher in level, you never go back to them. So what I want to do is have the skill points for those weapons drastically improve how powerful they are. So, for example, a fully upgraded Browning Satori may actually be more powerful than using an MP5.
Wow.
So therefore, players start with those basic weapons, move away from them for more powerful weapons, and then end up coming back once they're able to invest enough skill points in the original weapons again. I think it's a nice full circle.
Yeah, and then that will encourage everybody to use all the weapons more.
Exactly.
Because each weapon has its own use, and it's unique in a way. Even the short bow.
Oh, I love the short bow since I can't get a long bow again. I have to deal with the short bow and it's cool.
It's actually, I haven't played so much with the bow up till a few weeks, month ago or something, then I got the bow at last. And, yeah, even the short bow, it's useful if you know how to use it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Now, the short bow is actually going to be nerfed a little bit, which is a mainstream term for it's going to be weakened just a little bit. But the counter for it is that it'll be available in map 3 as a regular weapon to purchase.
People
won't have to search for it.
The cost of arrows is going to be increased because I'm just finding that the bows are overused. They're used far more than most of the other weapons right now.
Yeah, that's true, unfortunately.
just so that it costs a little more to use it, that's all. You know, just, okay. I'm looking for a good balance.
I was always fantasizing with the idea that people are walking around with millions and millions and millions of reputation. Are you going to add very, very, very expensive items?
I've thought about it. What you end up with is inflation. Game system where money is created out of thin air, which is what actually happens in Swamp. You know, you kill something and you're gaining reputation, but you're not taking away from a total. It's not like real life where there's only so much money floating around.
Yeah.
So what happens is every single person may start off with very little. 6 months later, every person's running around with a million. 6 months later, every person's running around with, you know, 50 million. And there's not enough stuff to spend it on. Because as players get better, they don't need it as much. So I ended up adding in the gambling commands.
I know them all too well.
They don't use them as much as they did. It's that in any casino type situation, the house has a greater chance of winning. So there's your odds of winning are slightly lower than your odds of losing.
Yeah, we know.
Lucky. If you're lucky, you come out on top, and there's a lot of people who've made millions of rep playing. But there are more people who've lost millions of rep. So it was a good temporary way of lowering
cutting the inflation.
And for the future, I don't really have a good plan yet. I haven't thought of a good way of affecting reputation. I don't even really want to say it's a solution, because it's not really a solution. But the hardcore mode that's going to be added in, hopefully in the update, hopefully. The hardcore mode, it completely eliminates reputation. So we won't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, that leads me to another question. Hardcore mode, I've heard stuff about it, all sorts of rumors and stuff. I know a little bit about it, but can you tell us a bit more?
Okay. Once again, some of these details may change by the time it's finally finished and tested and balanced, but in hardcore mode, you will have a certain minimum level, a certain level requirement. Just for the sake of an example, let's say level 60.
Okay.
So you can take your level 60 character, you'll be able to type in a command, and it will convert your level 60 character into a hardcore character. When that happens, you'll go back to level 1, you will lose all of your equipment, it'll be like you just started a new character. But you're different than everyone else. You're marked as a hardcore character. As you travel out, only 10% of the loot that you would find on the ground is there. So it's going to be a lot harder to find loot. If you go into the safe zone, you can't donate items and you can't buy items. So you're completely dependent upon what you can find. It's going to be intense. The thing I love about that, though, is that you won't have people who just buy their favorite gun and buy a million rounds of ammunition and never use anything but their favorite gun. You'll have to use what you find. You know, and if you have a gun that you really like and you can't find ammunition for it, then you'll use the second gun or the third gun.
It's like a scavenger, sorry.
Yeah, it'll be a little more like a scavenger hunt. You're going to need to find what you use. There's going to be a system of food, because in a real zombie survival situation, if we try to put ourselves in this game, you would have to just use what you could find. So that's kind of a check off the list. Food is a huge concern. In fact, food would be just as much, if not more, of a concern than even finding weapons. Because,
are you adding in food?
Right. You'll die without food. So in this hardcore mode, what will happen is you will have a food amount, kind of like how you have a reputation amount now. It will slowly count down as you play. If it hits zero, your character simply stops. You can't move. So it's like being dead, but you're not actually dead. You just can't move.
Cool.
If you were in a safe zone, you could sit there and still talk to people, but if you're out in the middle of the field, it's like running out of gas. You know, you're trapped, and you may just need to log out so that nothing comes and eventually kills you.
What happens to you if you are stuck in the safe zone and you can't get food?
If you are stuck, you have to rely on other people to bring you food or to give you food.
Uh-huh.
The hardcore players are going to kind of be in their own little club, if you will. They're going to be able to transfer food between each other, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but more than likely they will be able to transfer items between each other, weapons, ammo.
Wow.
So,
is this going to be anything like player competition? Will that be brought in?
A little bit. Maybe not the way people are first thinking. But what would happen is if, let's say you're playing. So, Brendan, you're running around, you get very, very low on food, or you run out completely. If Lori's on, you could ask her to send you food, and she could choose to send you a certain amount, which is enough to get you up and going again so that you can look for more.
You would.
So,
you're going to end up with another walkthrough.
You're going to end up with these little, like, close-knit friend relationship type situations. You know, people want to help each other out.
Uh-huh.
And that's where clans will come into play. You'll be able to create a clan. You could call it whatever you want. I don't know, let's say you call yourselves the Vipers or something. And you can invite your small group of friends into this. You'll be able to trade items amongst each other. What happens though if you're online and you run out of food but none of your friends are on? Well, now you're in trouble, or you start to get low and nobody's on. There are going to be forts, and they've actually already been put into the game, they just don't work yet. I know quite a few people have found those or stumbled upon them. You, as a person that's in a clan, will be able to go into a fort, and you can use food to buy it. The food will become the currency to purchase this fort, if no one owns it. So let's say no one owns a fort, you found it, you buy it, it now will say that it's a fort owned by the Vipers.
Yeah.
You can deposit food in it. You could say, all right, I'm going to take 100 of my food and put it in here, so that if I'm not online and Lori or Lauren are either low on food, they can walk in there and they can take food out. So you can kind of share it amongst each other.
Cool. Wow.
That may include items as well. It may include ammunition, guns. I'm not really sure yet.
Can a fort be taken over?
Yes. There are only
Brendan,
so many
don't put that idea into his head.
it's already in my head. Don't worry. There's only so many forts. Now, you can own as many as you can capture, but there's only so many.
Yeah.
Let's say there's just no more room. Or there is room, but you have your fort on map 1, and all of your people have advanced onto map 2. You don't want to run all the way back. So you want to get a fort on map 2. If you go into a fort that's owned by someone else, let's say it's owned by, you know, the rabbit dogs, whatever. I would imagine Flyby Chow might have a name similar to that.
Very true.
But, so you walk into a fort that says it's owned by the rabbit dogs. You will have the choice to attack the fort. And what you will do is to attack the fort, it'll cost you a certain amount of food. Let's say it costs 100 food, just for the sake of throwing out a number. You don't know how much food they had stored in their fort. You will lose 100 food, but so will the fort. And it'll let you know if your attack failed or was successful. So if you've taken their storage down to zero, you win and the fort's yours. Otherwise, it just says you lost, and technically everybody's out. Everybody loses because you lost 100 food and they lost 100 food.
Wow.
So this is how it'll be a bit of a gamble. If you run into a fort, it may be a fort they never use anymore. They took all the food out of it, but you won't know until you risk yours to attack it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that's where the player competition comes in.
This is going to turn...
Compete over the forts. And there'll be, you know, new missions that get put in. There's the first one that's planned for the hardcore players. The first one that's planned is it's like a versus warehouse. And the reason I'm starting with that one is because the code for the warehouse is already done, so it's going to be very easy for me to do. It'll be two identical warehouses, and each clan will start on their own side and will have to find the crates. And the first team, the first clan that finds all of their crates wins, and the other team all counts as a loss. They all die.
That is mean.
That is.
I better do clan recruitment, I think.
Count me out because I'm a coward.
Same.
It'll be interesting.
I think it will.
What
be.
About the types of foods, Apron? Will they like be a dinging sound like the crates?
For food?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. They may have their own sound, or I may make food just have the generic loot sound so that you never know if you're going to find it or not. Just like, you know, diesel fuel. People look for diesel fuel, but you never really know if you're going to get it.
Oh,
so you
my
pick it
God,
up.
Fuel. I need fuel.
Food covered by flies. Okay.
Yuck.
Well, we could use the excuse that you're looting canned food off of a dead body or something.
Yeah.
We'll have an excuse. We'll come up with something.
Because I often wondered, if you're on a mission, would there ever be a way to open the supply crates and grab a drink of water?
I had never given that any thought.
And food, will it just be known as food, or will there be like food types, like meat stuff?
It'll probably just be a generic food, just like how experience or reputation are just kind of their own.
Their own thing.
But the big thing that I want to kind of toss out there for people to understand why these choices have been made for hardcore mode is that if you, hardcore mode is meant to remove some of the fakeness about the game, some of the artificialness. Now, if you're playing the regular game right now, there's this thing called reputation where you're earning the trust of the people, the fake people that don't really exist that are in the safe zone, right?
Yeah.
And that trust is whether or not they trust you with loaning you weapons, loaning you ammunition, things like that. And you earn their trust by doing things. Well, once you get to hardcore mode, we don't need that fake pretend trust anymore. We have real trust with real human beings. You don't need the reputation because it's all about what's your real reputation. Are you known to be a good, trustworthy person and a good player so that they'll add you to their clan or that they'll loan you food or loan you weapons and... You know, because it's going to be real people you're dealing with now. It's not just fake computer characters.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to give the game, you know, a very real boost. It's going to make people feel more like they're in the game because it's all real then.
Well, I can see many, many friendships and many, many things forming there, even enemies.
Yeah.
I suppose that's part of life, isn't it? You make friends and you make enemies, so.
Yeah, definitely.
It just depends how serious people are going to take it.
Yeah, hopefully people will keep in mind that it's just a game so there aren't real-life arguments over things. But yeah. I guess I can't really control that. That's down to the individual people.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sure we can discuss hardcore mode forever. But I do want to get to some other things. Over the year, Swamp's existing, what do you consider the greatest thing you added or did in terms of this game, the thing you're very, very proud of in terms of Swamp?
Tricky.
One of them, at least.
I guess I would just have to go back to just missions in general. I think just the idea of having it create the instance or the separate world for that team so that you don't bother one another or you don't clash with one another, I think that was probably the biggest addition that opened up options.
Yeah.
I really haven't explored all of those options. There's only, three different types or four different types of missions or something?
Yeah.
And there could be literally hundreds. It's just, it takes a lot of time and effort to make them, and I haven't had a lot of time. I've, you know, focused mostly on bug fixes. But, yeah, that aspect of missions could be expanded endlessly.
Yeah, I think that changed Swamp. I've played in 1.8 where there wasn't missions. Okay, there were teamwork and stuff. It was fun clearing the bridge with your mates.
I love that.
And clearing the east side, and you had a team going there, and everybody was helping each other. And missions also brought another element into the game that that changed Swamp, and I think more players started getting into it.
My favourite mission is the Last Man Standing, because that is the one thing where you can just, you know, tell people to die and they won't mind, you know. You can be like, yeah, just die, you know.
I might.
Yeah, the Last Man Standing, I think, since it's no longer costing fuel, I think that is just great.
Oh, yes.
The one mission I haven't been able to grasp so much is the sniper mission, but that's mainly because I'm bad at it.
Oh, I love it. I played it last night. It was great.
Yeah, the sniper mission is one of the unpopular ones. I don't want to say unpopular like nobody likes it, but the people who like it love it, and the rest of the people usually just don't mess with it.
Yeah.
It was kind of a last-minute thing somebody suggested, and it was easy to throw in there.
Yeah.
But, I suppose if only every now and then somebody plays them, as long as they enjoy them.
Yeah.
It's worth having it in the game.
It doesn't take anything away from the game.
Right.
Mm. So, yeah.
Maybe you could introduce food missions.
Oh, food, yeah. Well, there's going to be quite a few things I'm probably going to have to add once food's in there, because it's going to be so important. I can imagine some food-centered missions, too, where that's the reward, definitely.
And do you think in the future do you think you'll add or implement any new zombies? I mean, I know you added the Dyers fairly recently, but do you think you'll actually make any more, or do you think you're just going to stay with what you have?
There's, I want to say, three other zombies that have actually been designed. At least all of the sound work has been designed. It's just a matter of coding them. I would love if I could get one of them into this next update, but I don't know if I'll be able to. It's the Behemoth. Sounds for the Behemoth have been in the game for a very long time, so I get asked about it frequently.
And any new maps?
I do have a few new map ideas. Some people have commented that there's the new map they noticed in the last update. It's called Crash 1.
Oh yeah, that one.
That's going to end up being
what the
used
hell is that?
Well, I'm keeping it a secret, sort of. I think a few people have ideas of what it's for, because they've looked back, or they remember some of the suggestions from long ago, and this actually is part of some of the suggestions made long ago. I suppose that's a good hint. There's also another main map that has been being worked on for a very long time. It'll be the fourth major map. Yeah.
Probably need to be about 900 to reach it.
Well, the bad news is that it probably won't make it into the next update.
Oh.
But the good news is, when it does finally come into existence, it's going to be very cool. It's a mall. A big destroyed mall.
Nice.
Yep. And the reason that its development has been delayed is because I absolutely have to get other zombie types programmed, or other enemy types programmed, before I can have the map finished. Because just like map 3 introduced the Dire, map 4 focuses very, very heavily on a new type of enemy.
Ah. I wonder. I've always had this crazy map idea, and Lauren and Laurie would know exactly what I'm going to start on about now.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
He's a beach map. I think it's just because I don't live anywhere near the sea and I'm obsessed with it. Are you ever going to add a beach map for me?
It could be another sub map.
Yeah, but it's not a beach. It's a sea in the middle of it.
Shark zombies coming out of the sea.
You won't have a lot of volunteers to go out swimming in the ocean in the world of Swamp, I don't think.
Oh, they want to get away from it all. Maybe there are food stores stored somewhere at the bottom of the sea if ships had sunk or something about that.
Yeah. Well, there will end up being an island. I don't know if that's close enough. It's not really in the ocean.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rush, one of the almost future subs, will explore a small island on Brush Lake.
Yeah.
In Ranger Park, you see part of the lake, and there is a very small, I guess you could say there is a small island there, which has
Ranger Island.
Yep.
I can't
but
get it, there. It makes me so frustrated.
I got there once, but for the life of me, I can't remember how I did it.
Because there's a, now what do you call it?
There's shallow parts to get in.
I know, I can't find the shallow part. It's annoying. Anyway, yeah.
But how about the ability to swim? I know many people have been asking about that as well.
I don't plan to add the ability to swim, only because I really do enjoy being able to use the bodies of water as, you know, obstacles.
Type of barrier. Yeah. Ah,
gives
I see.
Me a lot more freedom.
But the zombies can, and it's intentional that the zombies can get over and we can't.
Right. Since my excuse for that is that they don't need to breathe, so they don't have to worry about drowning or currents or anything. They just kind of come across.
It would be funny if you can, if you're not careful and you can drown yourself.
You could introduce a diving mask as a type of secondary armor.
Wow,
that's true.
You could stay in the water for a few seconds. I don't know. Well,
talking of stuff like that, the first time I actually in map one, the first time I got to Brush Creek, and you know, like when you sort of bang into it, I thought I had actually drowned. I was like, "What the hell is this noise?"
So did I.
Fortunately, yeah. I think I read, because I played and then the lake was introduced, so I saw this on the readme. Fortunately, I was kind of prepared for it, but I remember I always wanted to get over to the other side, and I kept dying while trying to do it. I think it was when zombies used to come in ones, like huge groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rarely make it out to the other side. On the bridge.
Boy, it's definitely some memories when you think back to what it used to be like when the hardest thing in the game was to try to get to the east side across.
Say, map one is so quiet lately. I go back to the factory, and I used to in 1.8. That was like the ultimate place to die. And lately, there's nothing there.
Now it's like, a hospital for me, anyway.
Hospital is hard. Oh,
I'm sure after this recording you'll hear stories about the factory. It hasn't been boring lately.
Oh, okay. I might just go back there. Anyway, a bit of a change of subject. This might provide some background to the gamer who's just sitting there and asking you questions. Can you give us like an overview of your life in terms of this game? What's it like? I mean, you've made like the biggest audio game ever, and you probably get millions and millions of emails. How do you like to deal with it?
It is pretty cool. I'll say it's pretty cool. It very quickly went from cool to responsible. Like, I'm trying to think how I should put this. It very quickly went from just cool to cool with a lot of responsibility. That might be, I guess, the best way to put it. I realized very quickly that along with it being neat to have kind of the celebrity status, or at least everybody knowing who I am, tied to that was a lot of extra work. Work to maintain that, I guess. So it in the end, I'm very glad. I mean, it's worth the trade, you know, but you kind of lose some free time to do that, but I think it's okay. Yep. And then while you're going through and reading or responding to those messages, you know that it's kind of the price, you know, it's the second half of what you did. You know, the first half was to make the recording or to make the game or to make whatever.
Yeah.
And the second half is to then maintain it by helping, responding to people who ask you questions, helping the people who are stuck.
Definitely.
Yep.
And you make friends along the way. That's why I'll always be grateful to someone, because when I got bored and decided to do that walkthrough, I made friends very quickly from like all over the place, and I didn't have that before, so I will always remember Swamp as the beginning of that road for me as well.
That's how you became friends, Brendan.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you accidentally went into a mission of his.
I didn't mean it! How was I supposed to know it was private? Maybe that could be a feature, a private mission.
Yeah, a lot. I do.
Yeah, because that's unfortunately something that gets a bit, you know, with the alerts is all good, but when you want to lead a mission for your friends and then you launch it and then you get these whispers, why aren't you waiting for me? Please wait.
Yeah, that was, I'm deep enough into the game and there's so many people and there's so many people that want completely different things that almost every decision I make is a double-edged sword now.
Yeah.
You know, for example, the alerts, the idea of being alerted to missions was requested by so many people. And then, of course, when I add it, then I get reports or people you know, shame. So many people that are saying that they don't like the negative side of it because they wanted their missions to be private. There's no way to make everybody happy. It's just too big.
I suppose you can turn, like, give the leader the ability to turn off being alerted. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or turn off whispers. The mission's over.
I think that's actually great. Well, I must say, these sneaking into private missions has its good points as well, because, you know, one day me and a friend made the mission and this other person also came on, and then we actually talked more than we did the mission. We ended up talking about the most interesting stuff. So I suppose it got its advantages as well.
I suppose so.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't meant to be there, but still, there you meet some new person.
And the fascinating thing I find is, even though I wasn't exactly there for 0 point or whatever, the first version, because I was so busy, I had so much stuff, it was like exams and stuff at school, so I wasn't exactly able to play the first one. But I have the first version on my computer, and I still go and play the single player, and I just find it I find it so fascinating how it's changed so dramatically. I mean, you couldn't really do much, and even then they found it amazing. You know, people found it amazing that you could do all that, and, you know, it was great. And now, it's even better, and, you know, it's just amazing.
I was surprised that people responded so positively to the original one, being that it was just a test.
Yeah.
I mean, that's surprising.
Because initially... Well,
maybe all of those people were envisioning what it was going to eventually become.
I don't think anybody could really see all of this happening.
Oh, no.
I mean, there you go online, you can talk to anybody. I don't think that was envisioned in the beginning. I was always thinking it might become more single-player based, mission-like.
I'm glad it hasn't, though.
I'm also actually now, come to think of it, really glad that it hasn't.
That might actually be solved in the next update.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's something that I have not started coding yet, but I've been planning it out. Uh-huh. I like the idea of creating scripted campaigns. What you'll be able to do is design a map, and a file that goes with it will set up certain things like where will zombies be, what items will you start with, what things do you have to accomplish, like you have to collect a certain item. And you'll be able to distribute these so other players can kind of play your little adventure that you've come up
Yay!
With.
Yay!
Nice.
Oh!
It hasn't started yet, but that is something that I've been playing.
It reminds me of the Sound RTS campaign, but unfortunately that particular idea hasn't been expanded. I mean, for that particular game. But I'm looking forward to that. I think now you have, people who play every day, 24 hours, and they could be, permanently sitting and playing Swamp.
The other thing that will kind of go along with that is there's going to be, when you go to start up a campaign or just to play single player, there'll be a new option where you can request your character from online. What'll happen is, right now you have two options. You can start nothing when you play single player, or you can start with everything. Right? There's no in between. What you'll be able to do is request your character, so it will contact the server, ask for a copy of everything that you have on you and all of your stats. So you will be, let's say, a level 84 guy with all of your weapons and all of your stat points, you know, as you play single player. You won't be able to level up in single player or anything, but it's kind of just giving you a nice snapshot copy. So you can feel like you're still playing your character.
But what happens if you die?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
It's still just going to be single player, so you won't have any negative effects if you die. It's completely single player still. It's just a way of matching what you had while you were on multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I know you probably... Sorry, Brendan.
You can go on.
I know you probably have no idea when it's going to be finished, but let me just say, when it is, it's going to be a brilliant day. And if it's a school day, too bad, I'm going to skip school, just... You know, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be on Swamp all day.
If any of Lauren's teachers happen to be listening.
Oh, well, so what? Good for them.
April goes down in history as the guy who ruined the education system for the...
You're going to get, teachers from all over the world, lecturers and teachers gathering at your house.
Nasty.
I think my particular lecturers might just be wondering why I'm not committing myself too much. No, I'm kidding. I'm happy to say that I can manage my priorities. I play Swamp when I've got off, but when I do have work to do, I will do my work, you know.
I come back on Swamp
in the weekend.
It's going to be, all I'm saying is it's going to be amazing that day, and it's just going to be brilliant, and, you know, it's just, you know, it's going to be.
Well, unfortunately, I'm sure the day itself is going to be filled with bug reports and bugs, but.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Things are always different when it's just me testing or when it's 900 people testing. You know, there's always a difference there.
I think a very good example of that is Gorthon's Road to Rage. I think it went perfectly for him, but I think the bug reports just streamed in. But I'm glad he's still, you know, coping and stuff. And I really think that game also has got the potential. But yeah, I know many people were shouting for PvP for Swamp, and that's not what Swamp is about. That's what Road to Rage does and gives us.
Right.
I said they're both very unique in what they do, and if you just cross what they do, you know, if Swamp also has that and Road to Rage also has the things that Swamp has, it's not going to be the same.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, I've actually taken the stand that Swamp will never have the PvP because I, you know, it would be added in and it wouldn't be necessary for one. But now if I were to add it, really all it would do would be step on the toes of other games like Road to Rage. So it really wouldn't make any sense for me to add it.
Yeah.
You know, my goal isn't to mess up the other games. I'm hoping that Swamp will actually just inspire future games to, you know, maybe have some of the same things that Swamp has and then improve on it.
Yeah, like
you
know, that.
Kind of up to, things are naturally supposed to go in the gaming community. You take the ideas of the games that are popular, and then the next generation improves it, you know, make it better.
I'm actually curious to see who might try to improve on Swamp, because I think this is just the best thing I've ever played.
Well, I guarantee you somebody's going to come along and just blow Swamp away. I guarantee it. It'll happen.
Yeah, right. I don't think so.
Some secret developer right now sitting somewhere in his lab or whatever, working on the next best thing.
I doubt that.
I'll be sad if it never happens because it's the natural way things are supposed to be, you know.
So the thing is, even if that does happen, I'm going to carry on playing Swamp just as much, if not more, than I do already, because Swamp was the thing that helped them, whoever it is, make a game such as that.
Swamp is building block, well, so
yes,
to speak.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
And we can always go back and remember something. This leads me to another question. If Swamp was to end, what is your vision for the game? What would you want to say if you were to say no more updates, whatever? What would be what you want to see? Do you have like such a thing as like the very final long-term goal?
I do actually have kind of the vision of what I wanted the game to be.
Yeah.
And I'm almost certain that it would never happen. You know, everybody, as you sit and brainstorm something, you know, you'll make it grander and grander, and it becomes completely unrealistic. So the vision that I have would be probably beyond anything I'd ever actually do. So if Swamp did end, I almost guarantee you it would end without including things that I had wished would be there. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm going to be a little disappointed no matter when it ends.
But if you could wish, what would that be?
Well, as far as mission types are concerned, I had something like 5 or 6 different mission types that never made it into the game, and I had planned them to be in for a long time. In fact, right after the warehouse was added, I started working on rescue missions, and then they were just kind of halted halfway through and I never finished them.
Aww.
That was just one. There was a whole line of things, but that was the next one. And I never really got back to that. It was kind of disappointing. I did do the Last Man Standing, which is one that was planned. I did the Sniper, which was not planned, but the only reason I did it is because it was so fast for me to add. Yeah, I do think missions are really the number one thing I'll be disappointed about, is that I had so many ideas for missions and very few ever really made it into the game.
Yeah. So those that did are brilliant, you know, and it's everyone enjoys them even now. You know, no one's got tired of them yet, I don't think, and those who have, then too bad for them. But
some of them play them on a 24/7 basis, like, all day long. So, yeah.
I've done so many missions, and I still enjoy it just as much as the first one I ever did, which actually was without headphones, so I enjoy them even more.
Goodness.
My first
that
one.
That sucked.
I know I sound like some sort of old person who's going to say, oh, young people have got life easy today, but I still think newbies got life easy, because my first ever mission was with Kai, and we all know him. You have to work really, really hard, and I was trying my best to just give my best. In the end of the day, I died, unfortunately. But I was fortunate with a 1.9 test client. Lately, I see newbies being helped along so nicely by these higher level players, and I'm just like,
you were basically on there with the drill sergeant. You know, you were on there with the mission pro. He was by far the greatest guy at running missions back then.
I think it's a good thing that you learn that way, because if you learn the game with somebody holding your hand, you're not gonna really do that well. But I think I learned with the others, like the other players who played, because I started earlier. So yep. I've died 100 times and I've learned so now I can kind of be alive, and I've played with some great players, and
I think it would also give players the wrong impression about the game. I mean, there are so many audio games floating around that they kind of hold your hand. They're meant just... I know this isn't exactly accurate, but it's like they're just trying to make you feel good, that you're not going to lose. You know, you're going to win. It's designed so that you'll win, maybe a little bit of challenge, but that's the point, is that at the end you will win and you'll feel good. Swamp is not really designed that way. Swamp is designed to be really hard.
Mm. That's why I have a question. Wouldn't it maybe should implement a mission a level limit for new players? Because now you can come on, if you have the rep, you can join a mission and suddenly get 100,000 if you have a nice player helping you. That to me seems like holding your hand. And you don't really get used to running about on the map and killing and stuff. So how about perhaps a level mission?
I thought about that, because most mainstream games, if they have their version of missions or things of that nature, they'll have requirements on it.
Yeah.
And the reason that I didn't do it in Swamp, I did originally think about doing that. Right off the get-go, though, I knew I couldn't, because if I had requirements, it would limit the availability of missions, right? So if a person hosted a mission and they weren't with the rest of the group, they'll say everybody as a group is like leveling themselves up. Yeah. If you're left behind, you don't have people to play with. Or if you do, the odds of them having a mission up at the same time as you is much smaller. Once the game got popular enough that we had, you know, 90 people every day playing, that was when I started thinking this is the time to put them in. Because even if you can't play 80% of the missions because they're not within your level, that other 20% does mean that you're going to have a few to choose from, because if people ran missions all day long. Well, I started running tests on just tracking the logs, finding out how many people of different levels were playing the game at different times. And unfortunately, I wasn't happy with the numbers when they came out. If I had put in the level requirements, there would have been large spans of time where people simply couldn't play a mission because none of them available would have been within their range. And I didn't really want that to happen. I like the idea that there's always a mission going. You know, that people have the option at any time to participate in a mission.
Yep.
So, I haven't really found a good solution yet. A few things that I've explored that, you know, I've just kind of run tests on are to maybe scale the rewards. So if you, let's say it has a target goal of a level 30, right? It's supposed to be a level 30. If you're a level 1 and you go on it, because you're lower in level, you won't get the same experience. You'll get a percentage of it based on, you know, your relationship to the level 30. Or if you're much, much higher, it's the same thing. It'll be a bell curve. So if you happen to be exactly level 30, you'll get the maximum points for that mission. If you're higher or lower, your points are diminished depending on how far away you are from that center.
Oh, that makes
sense. Just different things. I'm not 100% happy with any of them yet. You know, they look good on paper, and then when I start comparing it to how people really play the game, it doesn't look so good anymore.
The thing I find a bit weird is because my, I sort of wish I could, well, I can create a new character, but the thing is it takes me so long to, you know, get to where I am now. But the only bad thing I think about my character, and this is nothing to do with, like, anything bad in Swamp, but it's just me, my fault, because I broke my headphone jack. for the first three months I started playing, I played without headphones, and basically I died in a lot of missions, and my stats aren't as good as they could be.
Yeah,
because I didn't find as many crates as I could, you know, because I had no headphones. And on a laptop, that is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem with the stats thing. That kind of goes back to that idea of, at this point, anything I add is going to make some people happy and some people upset. When I added in the stats for missions, the people who were still pretty new were at a disadvantage. Because they're going to have this learning curve where they're not going to do as well. They'll get better, but they're not doing as well. But the people who were masters at the missions, they loved it
immediately.
Yeah, from the very first mission that they ran on, that was going to keep track of the stats, they were doing amazing. So their stats were much better. Ideally, I would have come up with that right off the bat, and every person would have had their learning phase factored in. So, you know, unfortunately. You know, when you have to add stats in halfway through.
Will there ever be an option to delete a character? Like, if you decide you like your higher character better?
There would have been. You know, it would have been very easy just to put in a delete command. In fact, I could do it now in 10 minutes if I needed to. But the problem is we do occasionally get the troublemakers or the hackers that will try to get into people's accounts. Right now, if they get in and cause a problem, I can just restore the character. But if they actually delete a character, I don't have the records to restore them.
I see.
And you can have trouble.
Okay.
And you can have troublemakers logging in, causing chaos, like we've seen.
Yeah.
And then delete the character, and then all the traces go away.
Exactly. You'd be surprised how many really cool features were never added because troublemakers could make life miserable.
They do. That's what they do. It's just, I don't know. But anyway, yeah.
I say even the kick commands got backlashes.
That's
why I have a policy, and I want to recommend it to anybody who listens. Play missions with people you know and you trust, or create your own. Don't just go join a random mission, because they're bound to kick you for someone. The new server, I've heard mention about it on the forum, and there's going to be new security and stuff. Is there going to be something very different? The server, new commands,
or from my perspective, as you know, while I'm operating it, it is very, very clean, very fast, very convenient. I love it. In fact, when I come down to the actual server that's running, you know, the old one, every single time I am shocked at how crappy the old one was, just by comparison. The new one is very smooth and nice. As far as the players. I'm hoping that there will, of course, be less disconnects and less bugs and everything, so they'll notice that. As far as new actual features are concerned, I will be able to add items to players when they're not online. It's probably the biggest thing. Right now, I get reports all the time. Somebody will say, I lost this due to a disconnect, or I lost that due to a disconnect, but they're not online. I can't give them the item unless they're actually in the game.
Yeah.
And you know, if 2 or 3 days go by and I haven't noticed them on, I'm going to forget. You know, how many how many of us would remember, as new reports come in every day, the people that from 2 or 3 days ago had lost, you know, 10 different things.
I think how did I feel? I mean, about the control you have over the series. It really, it does feel like it's fun, because you complain, I complain, you can probably do anything with my character if you want.
It kind of does. I can't really do as much as people think I can, actually, because I haven't taken the time to code the stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get people who will think that, you know, like rumors float around that I can teleport you to another map or to somewhere else, or, you know, there's all kinds of rumors. It's amazing. And I can't do most of that stuff. The new server does open up quite a few new options, though, so I will have more control. I don't really see much of a reason to teleport people, though. I guess if somebody was stuck, I plan on fixing that bug just as an actual fix. So, that, you know, it'll do it automatically. Yeah, I don't know. Well, One thing that I actually was playing with about 5 minutes before this call is that the new server will let me control the brains of the zombies remotely. I guess what I mean by that is I can currently choose what an item is, right? Like if there was a piece of loot in one of the houses and you're heading toward the house and it's I don't know, some 9mm ammo.
Yeah.
I could choose before you get to that loot to say, you know what, I would rather this loot be shotgun shells. And I can do that. And then when you pick it up, it'll be shotgun shells. Well, I don't have that same control over zombies, but I do now with the new server. There could be two normal zombies in a house that you're heading toward, and I could decide, you know what, I think one of them should be a giant and the other one should be a dire, and I can do that.
And if we see zombies attacking in a bit of a coordinated fashion, we know why.
Now it may be coincidence, but it may be me, and nobody ever really knows, and that's what's fun.
I don't think I want to get on your bad side.
Yeah,
I'm friend Apron, I promise.
I don't want to walk and then see a zombie attack me and run away and then come back and attack me again and dodge my bullets and just kill me slowly.
The good news about the loot was when I finally added in the ability for me to change the loot, it let me do kind of special things like, you know, the
party hats,
finding sparklers or fireworks during 4th of July or, you know, that type of stuff. Just little fun things I could do on the fly and change. Well, with the zombies, what this is going to open up is that I can do random events, I guess you could say. For example, while we were talking, which I thought was funny once you brought up the factory, was that while we were talking, I tested code that alarms started to chime at the factory, and a group of about 15 dyers spawned inside based on the code. And it announced a server message to everyone in the game that said...
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh, did you see it? Yes.
I was on the game.
it was a message that, a message went out across the radio from the safe zone that dyers were attacking the factory, so that people could go there and try to battle this giant group of dyers.
I wasn't sure if it was someone mucking about.
That was real. I was testing it just before this call, so that was funny.
That might be fun. And now I think if anybody ever finds out that I mentioned the factory and they died in that vision.
Well, the test was actually already going on before you mentioned the factory. But I thought that was a funny coincidence that you brought up.
Yeah. Because I actually wish it would happen when I play. I'd just like to try that out.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I might die, but oh well.
I like the idea of swamp events.
Yeah, so it'll let me have more fun with it, you know, where I can kind of move some zombies to an area and come up with a story, and it's something fun for people to deal with just for that minute. It's not built into the game, it's just kind of a
random
thing that happened, you know?
The thing that makes me jealous, and I'm not afraid to admit it, the thing that makes me really jealous is some people are like, I've got bunny slippers and that, and I don't know if they're actually lying or not, but seriously, sometimes, have you ever actually heard about Brendino where some people have, you know, extra,
running,
you know,
boots, yeah.
Yeah. Why the hell do they, not me?
How do you actually get bunnies? I know there was once this. If there was a server announcement, if you go to the southeastern corner of map 3, you could pick up bunny slippers, but you also get blade clothes, so you need to get out alive or something, and you keep the slippers.
Yeah,
is that
I
the only
that
way you can like get these if random events happen?
Well, they kind of come in only when, you know, I'm just in a mood to give them out for some reason, and that was kind of an example of an event. My ability to use zombies with the events is kind of new, but I would do something like I could give you bloody clothes as kind of the punishment for getting the slippers, and that way, you know, you might not even survive to get them back to the safe zone. So that was an event that I did. I give them out every once in a great while on like a last man standing mission. I'll announce that, you know, everybody join this mission because the winner will get bunny slippers or something.
Oh my god, I want them.
They're pretty rare that I give them out, though. But I do it on purpose because the people that get them tend to hold on to them for a long time. Because they're usually good. Like, for example, if they were the one that won the last man standing, they're usually pretty good. And then they have an advantage even further because of the slippers making them quieter. So I try to wait long enough so that by the time I offer them up again, probably nobody has any anymore.
You say you coded this, the ability to control zombies, into the new server, but you can now also do this with this one. Am I correct?
Well, what I did was I took it when I was done writing that code, I realized that it should be compatible with the old server. So I highlighted the code and brought it down and was testing it just to see if it would work. And it did, so I was pretty happy. Or at least I think it worked.
Okay, nice. I wonder how those people, how it went with the dire fight on the factory. Can you actually still see what's happening at the factory right now?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And is the dire still there?
Let me check.
Let's hope so, otherwise... Nope.
Somebody went in there and cleared out all the dyers.
I would have gone in there.
Is there anyone in the factory at the moment?
Nope, no one in the factory. You know what? I'll end up doing it again, I'm sure.
I
want to
be
just
online
kind of
when
test.
That happens. Love it. I'll run to map one. I need to see
yeah.
This. But yeah, I think that random events is something that will definitely add to the game, because at the moment people walk around, shoot zombies, do missions, which is nice, but I think they just add more.
I agree.
Because it keeps people on their toes. And
if you might just walk nicely along Ranger Park, and the next moment you're surrounded. And
into a trap.
Into a dire trap.
Yeah. Imagine if an event happened right where you were. That would be... that would be horrible.
I probably wouldn't be that mean, but no guarantee.
Okay, I probably should stop talking.
Yeah, don't give him ideas.
I think Swamp has become more than just a game.
It's it's kind of a social scene. A lot of people do just kind of hang out and talk.
Yeah.
You know, hang out in the safe zone.
I've seen all sorts of topics. Which brings me to another question. I've seen that people play Swamp for a very wide age gap. And I mean, we've got 9-year-olds, we've got 36-year-olds.
We do have 9-year-olds, you're right.
Do you think this might lead to like a type of separation in the channels one day?
Probably not, only because it would be tricky to actually separate it. And there wouldn't be any way to moderate or police which channel people should be in, because there's no real way to know people's ages. So I think it would just be... it would be splitting the channels more than it should be. For example, I only have the one official English channel, even though there's 100 channels, or 99. Or
99.
The reason I only made one official English channel is because I wanted people to default back to that. Now, if they wanted to have a separate conversation, they could pick any of the other numbers, but I didn't want to have maybe official English channel 1, 2, and 3, because then people will naturally fall into all three, and you'll never be able to talk to everybody.
Yeah, I'm beginning to see that point.
So I think that having the two age groups would just split it in half, and some people would be in the right one for their age, and other people would be pretending they were in the other one, and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. In the end, it would just be two separate channels, I think.
The only thing that does bother me is when you do get 9-year-olds on the game, and you do get other people who will obviously bring up topics that's not suited for them.
I've seen it
a lot of times on Swamp.
Oh yes, same.
I've had to give out quite a few warnings, or just tell people to, you know, kind of watch language, watch subject matter, and
I'm always telling them, and I just get beaten down.
I know. I find it absolutely disgusting. Some people use that language, and I think, in this is just my opinion, those who have to use it shows a lack of grammar. But that's just my opinion. But you know, it's not nice to hear when there are 9-year-olds on there and that.
No. Oh, I completely agree, and unfortunately there's not really much of a solution even in mainstream. Haven't really come up with any solutions.
Can you not have like an automatic filter, so like if someone says a 4-letter word or whatever, it shows up as stars? Because some games have that. I don't know how you code it, but...
Well, I could code it. The only problem that we'll have is... the only reason I'm not doing it is because I kind of already know what the next step will be in mainstream games. When they do that within the next or by the next day, people will just intentionally spell the word wrong.
I've seen that on all your games forum before.
Sounds the same, yeah. It would just be an endless battle then, because people will always just look for the next little way of spelling it that gets through. Because they don't like to be censored. You know, usually when a person is swearing, they intend to.
They think it's big and clever, but it isn't.
Exactly.
That comes down to the whole thing, the apron fakes that you see. They fake and then they start spelling it in all sorts of very interesting ways to get by and pretend to
Can
be.
Can you not give Death server control? Or at least part player control, please?
Do what? I missed it.
I'd like part player control.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's because I'm Death.
Yeah. The only thing I really want right now is a longbow.
Well, keep searching.
You'll find a puzzle, release keys, I'm sure.
I want a puzzle, yeah. I haven't had one in absolutely ages, and the one I did have, connection went interrupted, and I didn't, you know, my fuel, I got lost 8 fuel. Oh well.
I have 3 cards. Yay.
Lucky.
I've got 15 things to those puzzles.
Oh. And I have none.
I do plan to add in quite a few new ones. I had a new one in that was only in for a few days.
The chainsaw.
And then there was a power out issue, and I lost the code for the new puzzle. So a few people in Swamp have actually done a mysterious new puzzle that it was about a chainsaw that no one else did.
I've heard about the broken chainsaw.
Yep, the broken chainsaw.
I am in the sewers, but it didn't. I found the connection went.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that one will technically never come back, at least not the same way, because I'm never going to remember exactly what all the steps were. So it may start off the same, but it'll only be what I can remember, as it was. Yeah. So that's kind of going to go down in the archives as the Loth mission that only a few people ever got to see.
The one that got away.
The one that got away.
Almost.
Will there be any more writing competitions, like the fanfiction?
Fanfics, yeah.
You know, I don't have any planned, but I really enjoyed that competition.
I loved reading them.
I actually wish I could take part, but it just so happened to be in a time when I was working on other projects and stuff for my course I was studying.
Yeah, I was doing exams.
So I was writing 2,000-word essays while these people were writing nice stories. So.
Yeah.
You know, I do like the idea, though.
Like some sort of command and you could just do, like, a diary entry that would go on.
You know what? That was something that I had strongly considered adding to the next update. It's along those lines. And I have not decided whether or not I'm going to put it in. It was a journal, actually.
Yeah.
What you would have is the journal would be a single item in the game, and it would be its own unique class. Now, I know I'm getting myself all excited, and I'm going to talk about it. It may not even ever be added, so that's the disclaimer, I guess. Well, what would happen is if you were lucky enough to find this item, you could it would tell you what you needed to do to earn the right to add to it. It may be, for example, win the 45 crate mission. There'd be something you'd have to do, or get 1,000 kills, something. So you would earn this right, and it would let you write in a paragraph. Mm-hmm. And then the journal would be taken from you, and it would be put back out there for someone else to find. And someone else would find it, and they could try to earn the right to add a paragraph to it. And it would just be the single journal that floated around.
Wow, that sounds really, really interesting.
That'd be cool.
So I don't know if that's exactly what you had in mind, but that was something considered.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How about Last Man Standing tournaments? I've heard that one before.
That would be cool.
And then whoever wins can get some special type of weapon.
They're done with. I mean, those are done occasionally when I'm sitting here and I'll tell people in advance that you'll get some item if you win. But I don't have anything actually in the code that would organize those. You know, it's just kind of an impromptu. You know, because I'll give out the item to the winner.
But just a question of curiosity regarding the server and what you can see and do with the particular character. What exactly can you see about them and do about, I mean, see, rather, because we discussed the do bits earlier. But if I walk around on Swamp, what exactly can you see about my stats, everything, just where I go?
Well, right now, and again, I'm on the old one at the moment, so the new one does add to that, but off the top of my head, I can't remember what the differences are. If I'm on right now, I can see that there's 40 people. Are you? Let me see here. Oh, Lauren. Yep. So there's 40 people online. I'll use Lauren as an example. This is very convenient here. If I select Lauren, it tells me what map she's on, and then I can go to the actual map and see. So she's on map 2. She's in the police station parking lot.
I am. I'm walking sideways.
Yep, she's traveling west.
Yeah, I'm banging into the sand thing.
She's so heading for the railway.
Oh, yep. So I can see her. I can see all the players that are around her in the safe zone.
Pit zombies on the railway.
Yep. Actually, I can. Well, I can't put the zombies on the railway right now, but I can see that there are quite a few over there, and there's loot.
Nice. I'm heading there now.
I can see that she's a level 63. Is what it tells me. It tells me information about her computer, internet connection, all the types of things that are used for tracking purposes. Which, of course, I don't go into details because every bit of it, of that information that troublemakers know makes it that much easier for them to get in. You know, they never really know exactly what I'm tracking. They never really know exactly how they're being caught. I can see how much experience she has, how many kills, reputation. She's killed 252 zombies since the last time she died, and she's using an axe right now. Or used an axe just recently.
Yeah, I did.
Shots. I can see how many shots, how many kills. Percentage accuracy is currently 43%.
I know.
She's died 399 times.
Oh. Can you look that up for offline characters as well? I'd love to know how many times I've died.
I can look it up, but I have to actually just open the logs and run search.
Currently getting murdered, so yeah.
Lauren, what name are you using?
I'm Death.
Oh, that's right.
Damn it, I was so sick then.
You've only died 19 times.
Wow.
That's
nice. Very
good. That's
you know now get this. You've died 19 times. You have killed 21,743 zombies.
Wait.
Nice.
That is crazy.
My accuracy is terrible, though.
Well, hey, they're dead in the end, right? That's all that matters. Oh, something that, for people who make recordings, something that they'll appreciate about the next version, which is already coded and working, is that you'll be able to choose what, I don't know if the term is output channel, what sound channel that Swamp will play on. So you can put that on a separate channel than your screen reader. So that was requested by Drew, I believe. He was doing a recording, and he wanted to know if there was a way to separate them so that he didn't have to record his own screen reader at the same time as the game.
So. Now we can see all sorts of Swamp recordings. That's all great, I'm sure.
Yep, just little random stuff that pops into my head as we're talking that I remember have been added. A lot of little things have been added. It's hard to remember, you know, looking back.
Yeah.
Since it's been so long since the last update.
Last update was great.
It always stays in number 8, it seems.
It really does.
I heard that part of the Swamp topic where the 8 conspiracy theories started coming up.
Found that pretty amazing. Fun. Yeah.
But I wonder if I can't help but wonder if it was intentional or not.
The secret is out. No, it was not intentional. But it was fun for a while there. People started to think it was.
It's just
fun. Amazing. It was amazing to see what type of, you know, number 8 themed things people could come up with. You know, I was a little surprised myself at just how many things really did seem to fit with the number 8.
And it seemed to be all planned. We thought, yeah, this is scheme going on.
Sometimes I have little schemes going and sometimes I don't. In that case, I did not.
This is purely coincidental that we have longer versions like 1.8 and 2.8.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, guys, it's been a blast. I think I need to start wrapping stuff up because I think it's about dinner time for me.
Oh, yeah. So do we.
For dinner. Yeah.
What did it? Well, technically lunch, I guess. But either way, I'm hungry.
Well,
it has been a lot
of fun talking with you guys. It's been a long time since I've been able to sit and chat with somebody about Swamp.
I would say this was really cool. I thought it might be going very quickly. I think we've been talking for a very, very long time.
Oh, we have.
Yeah, we have.
So,
it's been fun.
I want to thank you for joining us. And it's been really, really good talking to you. And I wish you the best of luck with the next update, whenever that is. And
definitely.
I can just say happy birthday to Swamp and for your work.
Yep.
It's 1 year, and I hope there may be many, many more.
Well, thank you very much.